Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Lance, anything going on today?
And I keep getting texts about other people getting fired.
Welcome. You're in the sports bar after hours, wherever you enjoy podcasts, and ESPNRochester.com plus the radio.com app. Lance Lysowski covering the Sabres for the Buffalo News on a grim day. A day where, you know, I think a lot of Sabres fans would have welcomed the departure of Jason Bottrell, given how you know, his tenure with the Sabres was rocky at best. Yet, I feel at the end of the day, we are in worse shape now as a franchise than we were at the start of the day. And it sure feels like Bottrell was let go because of loyalty, because he wasn't willing to part with some of the expenses of running the Buffalo Sabres, Lance. But you've been covering the team a lot longer than I have. You've been on the beat. You've been on the calls. Today was an event-filled day. Why don't you tell us what you know and what you've heard so far today out of the Buffalo Sabres?
Well, I would hope this isn't what fans would have in mind. A lot of good people, a lot of really smart people who work for the Sabres were let go. And
yeah.
I think that, you know, at the start of it, okay, the thing that's really confusing, and I'm sorry if I ramble here because it's a very complex topic after all that's gone on over the last month at this point. So 3 weeks ago, Kim Pegula goes out and says that Jason Bottrell is returning. She told this to John Wara of the Associated Press. And
she did it in a dismissive way, too, Lance. I mean, let's not forget. She did it in a way where it was like, we know more than what the fans know.
Now, again, on the Zoom call following Bottrell's firing, Kim said that she didn't regret those comments because it was based on performance. They were okay with Jason Bottrell's performance. They felt good with where they're at. Now, it was philosophical differences, and it all goes down to money at this point.
Yes.
Terry Pegula came out and said it, and I had to get him to come out and say it because he tried to sort of, you know, avoid saying it specifically. He wanted the hockey operations department to get smaller. Now, it's okay to do that within reason, right? I mean, a lot of teams around the National Hockey League have really consolidated their pro scouting department to include more video because nowadays there are so many camera angles in NHL arenas that as long as your scout has a very good base knowledge on a certain player or a certain team, they can still be effective without going on the road. Easy cost savings. You're going to lose a couple of probably employees through that. But it really sounds like, and it's really been confirmed with who all the people we've seen been fired, that Terry Pegula had something much different in mind. It sounds like he wanted to fire a lot more people and really is looking at this from an economic perspective as opposed to building a winner in Buffalo, which
right.
goes against everything he said since he purchased this team back in February 2011. Now, if you're firing Bottrell when it's not based on performance, I just don't understand the rest of the moves. You go ahead, you get rid of Chris Taylor and the coaching staff in Rochester. You get rid of Randy Sexton and Steve Greeley. You get rid of your amateur scouting, well, all but two of your amateur scouts, and that includes your amateur scouting director. When the draft has not been held yet, none of it makes any sense. I don't understand who the Pegulas think they're going to hire to replace those people. And on top of this, you hire a first-time general manager. And I think that's the one thing that fans are going to be partially confused about. The rest of this stuff is confusing, don't get me wrong, but I think a lot of people wanted an experienced general manager to push this thing over the finish line. And if Terry and Kim Pegula thought that that was their best bet, I would have said, you know what? I understand where you're coming from. There's probably some impatience because you're trying to run a business, you're trying to make money. And you know what? Botterill did make some mistakes in his tenure. I'm sure that once Botterill really is able to reflect on his time, he'll acknowledge there were some missteps when it comes to maybe trades or things that didn't work out as planned. But really, like the way that this all went down, and it's just, it's very confusing. There isn't a clear vision. Kevin Adams doesn't have any significant, you know, front office experience. I know that great guy, knows a lot about the game. He played, you know, he played for 11 years in the league. He was an assistant coach, but I
Lance, we'll get into Kevin Adams here in a little bit and what makes him, you know, potentially an upgrade from Jason Botterill. But, you know, I want to go back to the overarching theme of everything that happened within the Sabres organization today. And it was something that I read a lot about from the Zoom call. You were on that call. You heard them mention getting leaner as an organization. Look, you know, you can say whatever you want to say about the Pegulas as owners. Any corporation, any company is only responsible for their bottom line. There's no emotion involved in it. They're going to do what they have to do to meet their numbers, and the biggest expense for any company is people. It's their employees. So, you know, for anybody that wants to say, well, it doesn't make sense, they got to pay somebody else. But you're still moving on from employees that you felt you could save some money on before you run leaner with less bodies to do the job that you think you need to get done. And I look at all of the layoffs, and the Taylor one and the Sexton, you know, because it hits a little closer to home to us here in Rochester. We saw a winner on the ice for the first time in a long time. We saw players respond to Chris Taylor and Gord Dineen. We saw Randy Sexton act with nothing but class as the general manager of the Rochester Americans while he was here. We remember what it was like when Tim Murray made one visit per year to the farm club. And, you know, like, these moves to me speak to something bigger going on with the Pegulas. And I, you know, I'm just going to speculate and say, like, hey, look, you know, the pandemic has hit everybody hard financially. And, you know, billionaires aren't exempt from that, but they're also NFL owners as well. And somewhere down the road, we're going to have that conversation about what to do with the stadium. Are we not?
You know what? Yeah. My position is, if you can't afford to run a hockey team, you shouldn't own a hockey team. And I know that the pandemic obviously impacted a lot of pro sports owners, right? But that doesn't mean you go ahead and fire amateur scouting director before the draft. Like, you're hindering your franchise's ability to actually contend. And it's almost, I'm not going to say it's a slap in the face to your fans, but you're saying one thing and doing another. You can't tell me you're trying to contend every day and this is the way that you're going about business. It's very confusing. And there used to be, I know a lot of people complain there wasn't, but there used to be a clear vision for the Buffalo Sabres and the Rochester Americans. It was very clear. They were going to build prospects. They were going to develop prospects to surround with their core players. Well, you just gutted your team in Rochester.
Yeah.
I really don't see what the point of that is. And it just, again, like, some employees, I understand, you might want to furlough. You might want to lay off because there's not going to be hockey play anymore. But you still, this is important. If you expect your fans to pay for your product, fans who have been loyal to you for nine years at this point, over 9 years since you purchased the team, and you're not doing your, I don't think they're actually doing the most that they can to win right now. At least what happened today leads me to believe that they aren't.
Yeah, it's a frustrating day, and maybe my viewpoint shifts a little bit when the emotion of the day wears off. But right now, while it's all still very raw, I see, especially here in Rochester, just senseless terminations of people that really did their job well while they were here. And in my mind, it's just for the sake of saving.
They did their job extremely well, and that's the thing that Jason Botterill really did a nice job on. He rebuilt Rochester, and it was going to be even better next year when you had a lot of the young prospects. You were going to have Oskari Laaksonen coming up. You were going to have Matias Samuelsson coming up. This was going to be the next year was going to be the year. The Amherst are going to be a young team. They were going to be a lot of Botterill's draft picks that were coming up. And now you just don't have that. Now you don't have a strong coaching staff to work with those guys. You're firing development coaches. You're significantly impacting your ability to build a consistent Stanley Cup contender by doing this. Now, I'm not going to rush to judgment on Kevin Adams. Kevin Adams could be successful. I think his chances of being successful are increased dramatically. if he's able to be surrounded by very experienced people who, you know, who have knowledge of different methods that Terry Pegula is going to make them use in term when it comes to some of these budget cut, you know, measures. But right now, I wonder how much influence Ralph Kruger is going to have on the roster. What does that mean? Is that a good thing? It probably isn't. We, you know, many head coaches can't really toe that fine lines. It's going to be very tricky. I just, the path to contending and to winning a Stanley Cup or even winning a Calder Cup was much more clear 24 hours ago than it is right now.
I say it all the time, Lance. I mean, when the cries for change and regime changes and overhauls like we have right now, when they start happening, I always say, be careful what you wish for. And here we have a situation where you would think on a day where you're announcing a new GM, you'd have this overwhelming sense of optimism for a new day. And I don't know that any Sabres fan feels that today. We'll get back to Ralph Kruger here in a second. But the word on Kevin Adams is not only was he named GM today, but he's also the guy that was put in charge of telling all of these people, you're fired on day one. His first task is the hatchet man. I mean, it speaks to me as, you know, Kevin Adams is a guy got hired because he's a yes man more than because of what he actually brings to the table, or he might be a more affordable option than what the Sabres had in Jason Botterill. If the Sabres didn't do their due diligence and kick the tires on some candidates, I mean, fans should be outraged that they're running their organization this way and just promoting the guy from within because the best candidate was under our nose all along, LOL.
Yeah, the Pegulas didn't do right by Kevin Adams with the way that they handled that press conference today. And let me explain. They were given an opportunity to really thoroughly explain and confirm their confidence in Kevin Adams and explain to the fan base, yes, we understand your concerns, but here are the skill sets. You know, here's the skill set that Kevin Adams is going to bring this job. Here's why we think that he can negotiate trades. Here's why we think he can negotiate with free agents. Here's why we think he's the guy to push this across the finish line. But to only mention that, oh, we trust him. He's done really well in the other jobs we've given him. So why can't he be good at this? Really? That's not a good explanation. And like, Kevin Adams deserves better than that. He deserves better than that. You're going to put him in front of this. You're going to make him the face of the team. And that's all you have to say? Like this, he called it a dream come true to become the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. Big day for Kevin Adams. He really worked diligently since he joined the organization to move up the way that he did. Very impressive guy. So smart. I think he has a really bright future in hockey. But the way that it was handled, the explanation, just everything around it, the optics are just horrible. But you know what? Everything we've learned about this ownership group, they don't care about optics. They don't care what you think of them. They are just going to do whatever they want at this point.
It's such a massive disconnect when it comes to the owners and the fans. And even when they try to do right by the fans and giving them something that just 3 weeks ago they thought was going to be a certainty in firing their GM, they still botch it and don't do Kevin Adams his service. Let's talk for a little bit about the relationship between new Sabres GM Kevin Adams and Ralph Kruger, because it to me feels like with the elimination of Randy Sexton, with elimination of so much of this Sabres organization, that they're putting a lot of chips on the Ralph Kruger table and basically, you know, banking on his experience and expertise. And Lance, listen, you know, Ralph Kruger impresses me in a lot of ways, except for when it comes down to wins and losses, when it's all said and done. I want to believe that Ralph Kruger is that
teams.
Guy. Right. Yeah, right. Like, I want to believe that he's the guy that has that kind of that knowledge and that experience and can be the yin to Kevin Adams Yang. But I don't know that he's the guy.
It's going to be interesting. Now, Ralph Kruger, again, avoided answering the question today when asked, is this an opportunity for him to have a bigger say in player personnel? In my opinion, when I assess all the factors in play here, it absolutely is.
Yes.
Ralph Kruger is going to have a very loud voice when it comes to how this team is built. He's very strongly opinionated. He has a very strong vision on which players he needs, which roles he needs, which players he wants to keep, which is why after this all came down today, I tweeted, don't think the Rasmus Ristolainen is going anywhere. Kruger loves Ristolainen. It's the players that don't fit Kruger's system that could be in jeopardy of being moved out, whether that's Brandon Montour. Colin Miller was a healthy scratch for a lot of this season. He's going to want the players that fit his vision, and it's going to happen. Ralph Kruger is going to have a say, and I know that he I would really caution the Pagulas by allowing that to happen. Which head coach, I don't care how good you are at your head coaching job, and the jury's still out whether Kruger's good at his, it's very difficult to do both jobs, to really navigate that line of determining player personnel and coaching your team. Very difficult. And Kruger's only done it with the Swiss national team. You know, picking the best players in Switzerland is a little bit different than building a roster in the National Hockey League.
Lance, I know that you just got off of a Facebook Live a few minutes ago. I'm curious. I got a general sense of disdain from the fans on Twitter as well this afternoon. What did you get out of the fans that you interacted with this evening on Facebook Live?
It's people are confused, and they're as confused as I am. They're as confused as everybody in the hockey world is, because no, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, if you wanted to fire Jason Barrow based on performance, okay, that's your prerogative. But to fire him for philosophical differences when it comes to the budget of the hockey ops department, and to get rid of all these other people, including very good people who are really good at their jobs, who performed well in those jobs, I don't know where Terry Pegula wants to go with this. What's the plan? Are they going to hire these people back once the pandemic is over? It was very convenient that a lot of these firings went down after the media spoke to ownership today. Very convenient timing, you know, that development coaches were fired. Most of the amateur scouting staff was fired. I think that probably would have came up during the Zoom call if we were notified about that. So I just don't know what the plan is. And I know that Botterill was criticized for not having a plan, but I thought his plan was clear as day. We saw it in Rochester. I think that it's very easy to ignore because we all want results now, but the real consistent cup contenders are built from the bottom up. It's drafting well, it's developing well, and it's having success with your AHL team. I mean, Pittsburgh supplemented its core of players by putting Connor Sherry, Brian Rust, Jake Gensel, and Wilkes-Barre Scranton. It's making smart moves, it's being patient, it's having ownership be willing to be patient. And what's more bizarre, and another reason I thought, you know what, it doesn't really make sense when they get rid of them, because you're not going to have fans in this. There's a good chance you might not have fans in KeyBank Center at the start of next season anyway. So why do you really need to curry favor with your fans? Why do you need to please your fan base with making a move like that? Just stay confident, you know, be patient, really be, you know, just stick to your guns a little bit, right? I mean, follow the vision that you committed to with 3 years of Jason Botter already. What do you have to lose at this point? So now it's just, I think it's only going to get worse, but you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Kevin Adams proves me wrong. Maybe Kevin Adams is able to hire some really good people. But again, I just don't know how that's going to happen.
Yeah, Lance, and I mean, we've been through this enough times where we know that the emotion of the day kind of washes over us. And then, you know, we breathe. And we meditate on the decisions that are made, and then we start to think, all right, maybe there is some wisdom to the moves being made. We don't see it today, but maybe we'll see it a week from now, or maybe we'll see Adams make some moves that, you know, okay, maybe this guy does know what he's doing. And you know, more than anything, the players are what I'm concerned about, right? And I don't know that Jack Eichel did Jason Botterill any favors with his exit interview when the season was
probably
over.
Not.
And they decided, you know, and it was determined that they won't be playing in this postseason that includes pretty much the entire league. You know, I'm more than anything curious about his relationship coming in with the star players and the moves that he's going to have to make here. I mean, listen, Jason Botterill was kind of saddled with a little bit of a cap nightmare, and now you're going into an offseason with a ton of restricted free agents and, you know, a malcontent star who isn't happy and satisfied with the way and the direction that this organization has gone since it drafted him.
Yeah, I said this actually on my Facebook Live because somebody asked specifically about Jack Eichel. How could Jack Eichel how could he possibly be happier after what happened today to see what the organization did? And that's the guy that I would be doing anything I possibly can to make happy. Again, I just don't understand why you would sort of risk that relationship with Jack Eichel. I know Kevin Adams pointed out he spoke to Jack Eichel this morning. They had a conversation. But it's a risk. And really, Kevin Adams is going to have to show this entire roster, including Jack Eichel, that he knows what he's doing. he's going to have to ace this offseason. Talk about pressure. First few weeks on the first few months on the job. Oh, yeah, by the way, you have to put together a roster. It's a playoff contender when you don't have assistant general managers. You have no coaching staff or really any sort of structure with your AHL team. And your head coach is probably going to be over your shoulder telling you what players to acquire. Yeah. Not ideal working conditions, right?
Yeah, Lance, I mean, timeline this for me and for everybody else here. So Kevin Adams is on the gig. His first day today, and he blows out a majority of his staff, including everybody in Rochester. What's next for the new Sabres GM? What do we have to look forward to as fans? I know that there's a lottery coming up. I don't even know what the dates are because I think everything is just kind of up in the air. I mean, everything is still feels very murky in terms of, you know, how we progress through a COVID world. But what can Sabres fans, where is the silver lining? When can Sabres fans start to feel just a shred of hope once again?
Winning solves everything. Kyle Okposo actually said that when he spoke to the media a few weeks back, and that's it. I mean, the only thing that's going to fix this is winning. That includes in Buffalo. That includes in Rochester. And the Pagula just made that job a lot more difficult. My issue isn't with firing Jason Bottrell. If you wanted to do it, okay, but it's the reason behind it. It's the corresponding moves. It's firing everybody else.
And Lance, really quick, you were on that Zoom call today. Lance, you were on that Zoom call today, and it was mentioned multiple times on that Zoom call that this was about getting leaner. This was a financial move. I mean, they kind of made that clear on the call, did they not?
Yes, they did. It was a financial move, and again, maybe they bring some people back post-pandemic. But it's a bad look, and to do it the way it was handled was handled so poorly. If you're a free agent, I'll pose this way, or you're a pending unrestricted free agent, such as Johan Larson, why would you want to sign a contract with Buffalo right now?
No.
And it's nothing against Kevin Adams. It's just, you know, the situation with ownership, there's impatience. It's already a very high pressure situation to come here and try to be part of the solution in Buffalo. It's going to be really tough. And you're talking about, so Kevin Adams, his best path to making this team a contender next season is trades. He's never made a trade before. He's never negotiated a trade. He doesn't have relationships yet with general managers. He has a couple from his playing days, but doesn't have a relationship with agents. It's a relationship driven business, which is pretty much like any business. So it's going to be significantly difficult. I just, again, it's very difficult to see this going well. Maybe my opinion changes when I'm given more information or somebody explains it better to me. But from what I heard today, I don't see how this is going to work out. Okay, we'll wait and see. But after that Zoom call, and we saw the news about Chris Taylor, we saw the news about Ryan Jankowski, and I got a text message telling me of, you know, a few of the other firings, and I'm like, oh really? Okay, like why?
Yeah, it screams of dysfunction, and somehow these two were able to fall into Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott on the football side of their operation and not have the same concerns. And again, I'll go back to the financial part of this. I mean, they made it very clear this was about, you know, running a little bit leaner as an NHL organization. I have to believe that somewhere down the road, there's going to be a big ask for a new stadium or for upgrades to New Era Field. And that might be a part of it, that the Bills are where they're putting most of their investment, time, and energy, and that the Sabres are almost like an afterthought at this point. I wanted to wrap up with you, Lance, and that I saw a funny tweet from Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, hearing that Terry and Kim Pegula have accidentally fired each other after firing everyone else in Buffalo's organization, and marketing intern named Cole is now owner and president of the Sabres. The thing that's funny about that is you could expect that from you. That would be plausible. That could actually happen.
I'm sure a lot of people are sitting back this afternoon, and now that they're digesting this, and they're wondering, wow, I wonder why Jason Botterill just didn't say yes. You know what? I don't know any general manager who would have said yes to that directive. Correct. From ownership to cut. Correct. The people that he was asked to cut, to really alter his vision. This is his career. He wants to control his own destiny, and anybody in any profession would want to do the same. And you're sort of pulling the rug from out from under him and saying, yeah, you know what? you know, you've been doing this this way for 3 years, but you haven't won a Stanley Cup yet. So this is how you're going to do it. There's going to be no questions asked. You're going to listen to us. And if you don't do it, well, we're going to fire you and replace you with Kevin Adams.
And as much disdain as fans may have for Jason Bottrell, and we're clear, hey, listen, the guy made mistakes during his tenure as the Sabres GM. But I don't think anybody questions the man, the character. And even the Pegulas didn't question the man and the character. And he's a good man with strong character. And I have to imagine when it came down to it, it was an ultimatum. You either run things the way we want you to run them, or you are gone. And he decided, I will be gone then, because this is my legacy. This is the way I want to run things. This is my vision. And now you're going back on everything that you sold me when I took this job in the first place.
And I'm sure he knew, based on the changes they wanted him to make, that how am I possibly going to be successful operating under this model? And you know what? If you say yes to ownership on something like that once, obviously, Terry Poole is going to come back and try to tell you to do your how to do your job with something else. So there has to be a clear line, okay, and saying no to your boss and knowing when to say, okay, that's fine, I'll do that. So it's unfortunate the way it was handled because, and again, unbiased perspective, it's just me being around the organization for a couple of years and talking to everybody. It was heading in the right direction. And you saw it in Rochester, most notably by speaking to the players down there, by watching their games, following the prospects, and really, and it goes even to the NHL level this year with, you know, Botterill was able to really get some improvement out of that Sabres scene this year. Botterill did an excellent job trading for Henry Jokiharju, and there were some of the other moves that really started to show, okay, all right, well, maybe all you need a couple of pieces, a couple of trades, and this could be a playoff team. Now, you're again, like I hate to repeat myself here, but you're not going to be able to re-sign some of your free agents. Free agents aren't going to want to sign there. And you hired another inexperienced general manager, even more inexperienced than Botterill was. Botterill was around two Stanley Cup champions in Pittsburgh who worked under Jim Rutherford, Ray Shearer, a lot of really great people.
Yeah, Botterill was a find. Kevin Adams feels like a promotion from within of a yes man within your organization. And again, the emotion will wear off it probably in 24 to 48 hours, and we might actually see some things out of the organization that makes us believe that Kevin Adams is more than competent at his job. I'm sure he's very good at what he does, and he's shown the Pegulas up to this point that he can handle what they've thrown at him. This is a whole different ballgame, and it's a ballgame that he's playing without a president of hockey operations. And Kim Pegula once again doubling down, and Terry Pegula doubling down today on that Zoom call, saying this isn't part of their philosophy. They don't want a hockey person, another layer of bureaucracy there within the hockey organization. Is that correct, Lance?
Yeah, my biggest concern is it's not Kevin Adams. It's everything else of that organization. Kevin Adams can't be successful if you don't surround him with the right people. Think about any profession. I mean, Deidre, if you weren't working with good people, how would that affect your job?
Yeah,
I mean, I can say the same thing of mine. I mean, you're only as good as the people you're surrounded with, and they just really hindered Adams' ability to have success. You take away the staff in Rochester. You take away, you know, Randy Sexton and Steve Greeley. These are really valuable assets. Ryan Jankowski, your amateur scouting guard. These are people who could have been really beneficial to really helping Kevin Adams be the general manager I'm sure he wants to be. You get rid of those people, and I don't think a president of hockey operations is necessarily the answer, especially in this organization where Kim wants to be president. Kim's not going to step away as president. Ownership wants to have at least some say on how the money is spent, where the money is going. They want direct communication with the general manager, and you're not going to get that with a president of hockey ops. There were issues with it last time. Fine. I understand that. But if you're not going to have a president of hockey operations, you better have experienced people with that sort of skill set and knowledge working with your first-time general manager. The one person I keep coming back to, who I've mentioned in this is the fourth radio interview today, is Rick Dudley. It's Rick Dudley. Rick Dudley worked, he played for the Sabres. He coached the Sabres. He's been an NHL general manager before. He helped basically rebuild the pro scouting department with the Carolina Hurricanes and shifted to the same sort of video model the Sabres might be using in the future. That's an easy cost-cutting method to use to change your video scouting on the pro scouting side. And Rick Dudley is an experienced guy who had worked wonders with Kevin Adams. You know, Dudley did it in Montreal, Mark Bergeron. That's the kind of guy you need. It doesn't necessarily need to be a director of hockey ops. It needs to be some sort of a consultant or an assistant general manager who is willing to have a collaborative environment to really help a young general manager grow in the job, and somebody who isn't going to be a threat to that general manager, who says, you know what, I'm not interested in your job. I'm not interested in calling the shots. I'm here to add value to the organization. I'm here to give you knowledge on the skill set that I have, the experience that I have in running all these different organizations. Here's how I can help. That's the person, the type of person that Kevin Adams needs if this is going to work.
So Lance, I think of organizations and I think of structural integrity within the organizations. I see dysfunctional organizations, and the Bills were a dysfunctional organization when Rex Ryan was a head coach. As much as we love the Bills with Rex Ryan, because he was a soundbite waiting to happen, Doug Whaley and Rex Ryan both reporting to ownership, it was a dysfunctional mess. There was no structural integrity within the organization. Whereas now, if you look at the Buffalo Bills, it's very clear. It's Brandon Bean. It's Sean McDermott. There's no power struggle going on. There's infinite trust between these two men. I look at the new situation with Kevin Adams inheriting Ralph Krueger. Ralph Krueger, a guy who's got a lot of experience and years over a guy like Kevin Adams. What do we know about the organizational structure? Who will be reporting to who? And how does this all lay out now that we've basically had a house cleaning here with the Sabres?
We didn't really learn much. Like, that's the thing. When you have a Zoom call with 85 people and four different people are being interviewed, there's only so many questions that can be asked, and it's still on 45 minutes. That was sort of the trouble. So we need answers to some of those questions. You're absolutely right. How is Kevin Adams planning to build this roster? How is Ralph Krueger going to be involved in that process? What is their working relationship like? They've had a few conversations before, but are they really on the same page? Are their visions aligned? Is their vision aligned? I kept hearing that Botterill and Krueger were on the same page, but it's just very bizarre how we got to this point and where they go from here and what the rest of the hockey ops staff is going to look like. Do they invest some of the savings from cutting some of these employees into strengthening the analytics department? Are they going to find a forward thinking approach that actually makes sense, or is this simply about money and we're cutting these people and we'll figure it out later? I just don't know. I really didn't get a strong sense of their vision. I think that's probably the most troubling things to fans, even more so than, you know, an inexperienced general manager. I think you could have sold Kevin Adams to fans if the rest of this didn't happen.
Right. I try not to work blue, Lance, but I said it earlier on Twitter. What a colossal clusterfuck today was for the Sabres and the Amerks. I don't know any other way to describe it. I mean, I understand moving on from Jason Botterill. I really do. And it's harder to understand when you just gave him a vote of confidence a few weeks ago, but I get it. If it's about loyalty and Jason Botterill being a man of character and not wanting to see all of these people lose their jobs on his watch, then fine. You part ways and that will be that. And I don't blame Jason Botterill one bit. But again, fans, be careful what you wish for, because now you have a gutting, not just in Buffalo, but in Rochester, in the organization that was actually winning and moving in the right direction with people that were very good at their jobs now looking for work, all because what appears to be, more than anything to me, a cost-cutting measure to run your organization a little bit more lean. It is an absolute travesty. And again, we're doing this within the first 24 hours. Emotions will die down, and we will meditate
what,
on the moves.
Do we sound angry?
Lance, I'm telling you, I've watched the team. I cover the team like you do. I wouldn't even say 100% that I'm a Sabres fan. I want to see the Sabres do well. I'm a Blackhawks fan, right? Like, I've seen, you know, dysfunction within that organization for years before they started winning cups. You know, I want to see, and it's pretty easy to spot, right? Like, I hate that now you have fans that can actually say that the Sabres and the Pegulas are trying to one-up Eugene Melnyk. I mean, it just doesn't sit well with me as a hockey guy.
Honestly, like, it's been very interesting, you know, throughout my career when you're covering a professional sports team, because in college, and sorry to ramble a little bit, but you're taught to, you know, be unbiased, straight down the line, facts only. But as this business has evolved, we're told, you know, you have to offer your opinion. I mean, I've done it with you guys countless times.
You've got to have takes, Lance. Takes are currency.
You
got to
have takes. Yes. Takes get you Twitter followers and whatnot, and recognition, whatever. But a lot of times you try to not be too upfront because, you know, you got relationships to protect. You got to be a little careful. But there comes a point when you really look at a situation, you look at, like, an organization, like when you're around a team as much as, you know, I have in the last couple of years. You know what the vision is, you know where it's going, and then I'm not afraid to come out and say that what happened today is incredibly foolish and short-sighted by the Sabres. So I know that's a long way of going about saying it, but after observing everything, considering all factors, and I said many things about Botterill's moves in the past, but you just can't justify what happened today.
All right, Lance, you're gracious with your time as always. We appreciate you stopping by the sports bar even after hours here with ESPN Rochester at ESPNRochester.com. Do me a favor and let me know and let our audience know what you've got cooking here over the course of the next few weeks here at the Buffalo News.
Honestly, Danger, I wrote a 3,000-word story about a Sabres-related topic yesterday, and I need to scrap the entire thing after what happened today. God, so I can't tell you. I really can't tell you what the next few weeks have in store because this really, like today, just totally wrecked a lot of those plans. So you know what? I appreciate the opportunity to plug some content, but I'm going to go to bed in a couple of hours and I'll figure it out in the morning and I'll get back to you.
He's worth your follow on Twitter as well. Lance Lysowski, the Buffalo News, covering the Buffalo Sabres, joining us here in the sports bar after hours on ESPNRochester.com, the radio.com app, and wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Gene Battaglia steps into the sports bar after hours, and I'm sure he'll have some thoughts and reactions to today's Buffalo Sabres news. That's coming up in the sports bar after hours. Thank you so much for listening, and stay healthy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.